Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Vero-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today we're going to talk about some interesting data, some survey data that is going to be important because we're also going to be talking about an upcoming book called Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. So today our guests are Karen Hurt. She's the CEO of Let's Grow Leaders, and David Dye, President of Let's Grow Leaders. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So tell me a little bit about, first of all, what made you think about getting this data together? Explain the data to the audience today a little bit and tell me a little about it, Karen.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting. We actually got a call from our publisher and he said, his name is Tim. He said, "You guys, I think there is a real need for a very practical book on workplace conflict." And it was interesting. And we're like, he thinks we should write it. And so we're like, wait a minute, like, what is going on now with workplace conflict? Like, what is different now? You know, we've just come through this really turbulent time. We wanted to not just go with our personal and our client's perspective on it. We wanted to really gain some insights on that. So we launched this World Workplace Conflict and Collaboration Survey, which was 5,000 participants in 46 countries to ask a couple of questions. One, is there more or less conflict now? Now that we've had this seismic shift in the workplace, you know, what's happening with that? And then we also were very curious to ask people to think about big workplace conflicts that they've had and what would be their best advice to their former self if they were faced with that workplace conflict again. Because that, you know, what you would you do differently is really what we should be teaching people to do so that we can learn from the mistakes of others. And the findings were really interesting. I'll let David speak to some of those to kick us off here.
Yeah, absolutely. At the grandest level, when we're asking that first question, are you experiencing more or less workplace conflict in the last couple of years? 70% of respondents said it's more the same or more. And what's interesting, and that kind of, you know, checks out qualitatively with what many of us are experiencing these days, but what's interesting is the 30% who said they're experiencing less, we followed up and asked why. And half of those folks are experiencing less because they've left the workplace, they either left to another job or they've left the on-site workplace. They're working remotely now. And they said, yeah, I'm having less conflict because I'm not around people so much. I'm just doing my thing. And so while it may feel good to experience less conflict, there's actually a loss in that too of productivity in the workplace, of the combustion of creativity and cool ideas that can come about from productive conflict. So that's at the treetop level, one of the biggest findings in the survey. So let's pause there, David, and we can keep going for deeper dives.
Sure, no problem. Do you feel that based upon some of the research in regards to mental health issues that are out there today, that this plays into that in any way? And if so, what did the survey kind of show around that aspect?
For sure, yeah. So one of the questions that we asked is for those reporting more significantly more conflict, we also asked them why, what is factoring into that? And so the way the survey worked out, respondents could choose up to three sources or reasons why. And so at the top of the list, 27% of folks chose overwhelm, burnout, understaffing, those related issues. Tied with that were poor management practices. And you see a lot of that related to the shift in the workplace and where, you know, you've got remote, hybrid, and it's a very changed world these days. And then to answer your question, 21%. So after tied for first, the second place answer was pandemic related mental health, anxiety, and those issues. And these things continue to reverberate through the workforce and through human beings. I don't think as a people, as all of humanity, is recovered from this by any stretch yet. And those things continue to reverberate.
Darren, did you also see that there was an age demographic in the research, or did the research not go that deep?
You know, it did. We did ask about the age. And the interesting thing is there was not a real significant difference. Now, the one thing, you know, when we ask about is conflict getting worse or better, that's the place where it gets a little weird, right? Because for some people, if they are really young, right, you've got your Gen Zers, they started working in the pandemic. And the way I like to think about it is a lot of these folks, you went to college in their bedroom in their parents' house, and they didn't even through online schooling. Then they started their first job online without having the traditional onboarding, all of that connection that you have. And so that's an interesting dynamic where you see it not quantitatively enough, because, you know, am I experiencing more or less? Well, it's my first real job. It's hard to tell. So you didn't really see a big difference, but it was in the comments that you see it. And you see, you know, you're sensing a sense of isolation, loneliness. I feel invisible at work. I've never even been in the same room with my colleagues. I'm not sure that my boss sees my genius. Nobody gets me, you know. And that, I think, is creating some of that stress and anxiety. People have chosen their bubble in the pandemic. And so I think there's still some of that that's playing out as people are entering the workforce.
Did you also see that there was I'll call it a physical part or a anger part of it, where they were generally upset to the point of lashing out?
You know, there was 20% of folks cited less tolerance, less understanding of others. There's 13%, I think, so there's a greater willingness of people to speak up for their needs, but it's not always elegantly done. So speaking up is good. We're big fans of speaking up in the workplace, and for all the good reasons that come from it, but it also takes skills to do that. And so there's also some of this kind of, you know, the simmering, we call it a conflict cocktail, where you've got a variety of these things, which can lead to, yeah, those explosions when we don't know what to do with all those feelings and all those things that are going on. What do we do with all of that?
And it certainly showed up in the, you know, when we did the qualitative research of, think about your biggest conflict. What is your best advice to yourself if faced with this conflict again? The number one answer, 55%, said, I wish I had stayed more calm. Right. And, you know, it's the, you know, when you lean into a conflict and you're in that amygdala part of your brain and all things are firing. And it was interesting. We talked to Ralph Kilman, who is one of the researchers, I like to consider him the grandfather of workplace conflict. And, you know, we interviewed him recently, and he was talking about, you know, different conflict styles. And when you're under stress, no conflict resolution style works. We all revert to our worst things, the worst elements of that. And so, you know, and there were certainly stories of people's regret. I wish I hadn't punched the guy in the face. I wish I hadn't, you know, screamed at my boss in anger and told him to go F himself, right? There was all those kinds of stories too. So I wish I could take a beat is certainly the number one answer of people thinking through this.
Well, certainly emotions have played a lot into this. And there seems to be a lot of, if not only for mental health reasons, but for other reasons, that there's a lot of charged emotions out there.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of conflict in the world. And I'm a big believer there's always been a lot of conflict in the world. It's just maybe we know too much too fast, coming through social media and other aspects, with just getting inundated with information every minute, every hour. And of course, you know, social media, if you don't stay current, then you're out of the loop, right? And so you feel that independence, that emotional intelligence, lack of independence of knowing what's going on. So, you know, from your aspect, how big of an emotional component is this to solving the problem? Or is it something that we're going to have to slowly take over time?
You know, it's a great question. And, you know, when you're talking about the impact of the world that we live in, and that's important to note, and we talk about this in the book, is when you look at the factor and some of the accelerants that pour fuel on these, as you said, conflict is part of human existence, right? And at work, we should be having conflict. We just want to make sure it's productive, healthy, collaborative conflict, not the destructive kind, right? And so when you take social media, just to camp out on that for a minute, is if the whole goal of the way it is now is to get eyeballs and to hold on to that attention, tapping into our amygdala is one of the ways to do it. So if it enrages, it engages is one of the ways of,
right.
of hanging right. on to attention spans. And so if we're living in that world, and listen, I want to stay current. I read the news every morning, but also as I'm looking at the headlines, how many of those headlines, not even on social media, just on news feeds, how many of those headlines are written in a way to cause you anxiety, stress? Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Are you kidding me? This is the worst, right? They're written that way. And then you read the article, you're like, what? You know, it's the top 10 foods you can't exist if you don't know about. It's like, well, I've got this far in life without knowing about them. You know, so it's like if we're not cognizant of those things, they really can be an accelerant, a negative accelerant on the emotion aspect of things. So yes, there's being aware of that systemically. Yeah, we want to work for change and all of those things. But if we can be aware that that cacophony can have an effect on us, we can do something about that as leaders for ourselves as a starting place. And then when we're getting into the workplace, getting into some of the solutions that we'll get into.
Karen, when we think about, I mentioned emotional intelligence, and obviously without reading the book or knowing what's coming up or understanding the components of the survey, were pieces of emotional intelligence brought into this? Is this a area where leaders, having known that we don't do a great job in business, in schooling, or any of that, to talk about soft skills? We really talk about hard skills all the time. We don't really focus on those. How much of that is a piece of this?
Yeah, so 27% labeled poor management practices. And when people are saying poor management practices, they're almost always talking about some component of emotional intelligence. Yes, there's organizational bad practices, and that's things like, is my pay fair? But poor management practices is, how does my boss give me feedback? How am I recognized? Are they connecting with me as a human being? And so when we think about, so what do you do, right? What do you do with this? Well, you know, we talk about four dimensions of productive conflict. And one of them starts with connection. And are we really connected as human beings? Because, and that goes before we even engage in a conflict and how we show up in the conflict. So for example, if I'm having a conflict with you and I think, you know what, you stole credit for my idea, and that's, I'm really ticked about that. Now, if last week you got me out of a jam when my little boy was sick and you recognized me and told my boss what a wonderful job I did with the pivot tables, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, gosh, he stole my idea, but it's not really like him. Yeah, because we're connected. We're friends. I'm more likely to show up curious in that conflict with you and say, hey, I noticed this, David, what's going on? Right. But same conflict. But what if, 3 weeks ago, you engaged in passive aggressive behavior, you dumped a bunch of stuff on me last minute. Trust is low. You're not reliable. I'm least likely to show up curious and immediately jump to what a jerk this guy is. Here he goes again, right? So that connection at a human level, the more we can build that trust and connection before we need it, it's going to make more productive conflict easier. And then how do you show up when you do have some level of disagreement or tension? That emotional intelligence to say, hey, I really care about you. I care about the work that our team is doing. I am sure there is a successful outcome we can come up with here. You know, to connect first before you talk about the actual issue. Or, to say, what does this look like from your perspective? You know, like, I'd like to see the world through your eyes. Let's connect at a human level here. So I think that is, of all the four dimensions, to begin with what you're, saying is emotional intelligence, that creating a genuine human connection can really go a long way.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
You don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust,
and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y.
Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home. Sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot. Driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe. Put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HRPowerHour.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and our guest today is going to be Karen Hurt. She's the CEO of Let's Grow Leaders, and David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. And we're talking about their new upcoming book. Well, we're talking about the research on their new upcoming book, Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. So, David, I saw in the materials that you sent that the global research was done across 46 countries. Anything different that you found from all the different aspects of the world versus maybe the US?
The shortest answers are both yes and no. And the interesting thing is we wanted to know, that in the US, that's the air we breathe. So kind of have a sense of what's going on. We want to see how the rest of the world compared. And the short answer is there isn't that much difference on average between the US and the rest of the world in terms of the amount of conflict that people are experiencing in the workplace. The numbers range from the lowest reporting more or the same level was in South Africa, and that was like 64% compared to that global average of 70%. So that was one of the lowest. And then on the other end, highest, Germany. 76% of people reporting the same or more levels of conflict in their workplace. And so if you take the U.S. out, the global average without the U.S. was around 68%. The U.S. was at 71%. So, you know, it all comes out pretty close to one another with some regional differences, which I found very interesting that it is that consistent. And, you know, and a shout out to our neighbors to the North, Canada. You know, everybody wants to know, because we also made sure we got every province in Canada. They're at 68%. So they're definitely just on that lower end too.
That's interesting. And so when you said there were differences, what were the top couple that you saw?
Yeah, India and Germany were interesting. India, for instance, had the greatest percentage of people who said, yeah, I'm experiencing more. Almost half of their response group said they're experiencing more, significantly more. And so that was, they correspondingly had one of the smallest groups that said the same amount. So people, that was the one of the countries with the biggest majority saying more. And then I mentioned Germany as well with that higher level. Some of the other higher levels were France, Singapore, interestingly enough, which you wouldn't think of culturally, but that was definitely one that was on the higher end.
You know, and when I think of India, and if I think of any country, I mean, everyone has been through a terrible pandemic. But, you know, when I think about our clients in India and some of the stories that they have told, you know, I was just talking to a guy who was interviewing for a COO role, and he said he lost every member of his immediate family's of the generation above him. So both of his parents and his aunts and his uncles, they all died in the pandemic. And so that, talk about post-pandemic stress. How do you even show up for work the next day, feel with all that, I mean, that's post-traumatic stress. So that's the reason the India one did not surprise me, because I think you're going to have a lot of spillover from that.
India also has such a population problem. I think you know, as we talked about before, David, there's a macro issue of the environment you live in too. And did that show up in the survey?
Yeah, so the short answer is no. And we didn't get overly much into specific geographic environmental types of things that way. But the overall environment in terms of causes, those things came out and those tended to be pretty consistent. So that sense of the pandemic-related mental health anxiety, the overwhelm, understaffing, you know, and part of that is related, again, pandemic. I call it the global staring contest with mortality that we've all had in some way, shape, or form, whether through that lived experience like Karen was describing, where people have lost people, or the fear people had themselves, or for some, the you know, that mistrust of the loss of freedom that occurred as, you know, we had stay-at-home orders and masking and mandates and all those kinds of things. Wherever it comes from, all of that produced stress for people. And all of that can't help but to have an impact on how we're showing up at work.
Karen, one of the things that certainly has been a big part of the U.S. is remote work. And we'll even call it hybrid as well. I'll throw the two in together. Did the research show any implications of remote work? And I'll just throw out, did it show a difference again between U.S. and other countries? I'll just add those two together. So
yeah, so we did not ask in the survey whether people were working remotely or hybrid. We didn't call out that specifically. But in the anecdotal, you know, in the qualitative aspect, one of the biggest sources of conflict is a lack of clarity around what are the rules and expectations around here. So it's a whole new bucket of conflict. So for example, our work from home policy says we can work from anywhere. Great. So I go on LinkedIn and I see a coworker of mine who has posted, this is a true story, has posted a picture of them taking the Zoom meeting with a client at a petting zoo with a pony in the background. Okay. Now I have sent this coworker multiple emails, which they're not getting responded to, right? They're ignoring my emails while they're at the petting zoo, but they are commenting on every single comment that anybody puts on this picture. They're engaging on the LinkedIn. Now, is the coworker is clearly following the work from anywhere policy. Right.
The literal sense.
The literal work from anywhere policy. But we have not established what are all the and I actually debriefed this whole thing with some senior leaders over there that broke this down. But what's missing is what are the expectations about how frequency about how emails are going to be returned? What kinds of meetings can be taken from someplace? Right. And how are we engaging socially? And what is our brand? What is this doing to our brand on LinkedIn? So setting those kinds of expectations or, let's say, we're not going to have a norm about whether cameras are going to be on or off. So half the team says, well, you know what? I've got Zoom fatigue. I'm not going to turn my cameras on. The other half of the team says, this is completely disrespectful. If you're not going to care enough to put your cameras on, then you don't care enough about this team. Now we are in a expectation violation because we haven't set standards for when cameras should be on and when cameras should be off. And so it's creating unnecessarily conflict. So what we have really seen is the teams that are navigating to remote and to hybrid work well, the ones that are experiencing less conflict, and we see this with our clients all the time, is the ones that are taking a step back and saying, what does success look like? What are the norms of engagement? What are the hours that we're expected to be working? Because there is also conflict created from people who are on I feel like I'm expected to be on all the time because I see my coworkers returning emails all night long. And so reestablishing those team norms, if you've been in HR a long time, right? As long as there have been HR people are saying you need to create team norms, right? But now the topics, I think, have shifted.
David, building on that a little bit, and maybe I'll talk a little bit about the work in terms of results, right? Things to make things better. How comfortable are leaders in having those detailed conversations and really digging that deep when, in fact, some would say, well, that's really telling them how to work, though I'm trying to give them flexibility and ability to do what they need to do when they need to do it?
Yeah. The short answer is managers, leaders today are the most disengaged they've ever been in the history of the Gallup research. And there are a variety of reasons for that, and you're certainly getting at one of them. Add to that increasing complexity in the workplace combined with at the same time as there's more hybrid, more remote, more inter-time zone or intercontinental teams and all of that, you've also got an increasing need from team members, from employees for emotional connection, for the human support and the human-centered leadership that's so important. And that's much tougher to do in those environments and requires a much higher degree of intentionality on the part of leaders. So that, again, conflict cocktail. So to answer your question directly, how comfortable are leaders doing that? Obviously, there's a range, but it's a new set of skills. It's a new set of challenges. And listen, you don't have to, if you're a manager, leader listening to this going, oh gosh, I haven't created those norms. You don't have to do all of that yourself. Your organization may have that already. If they don't, then it's up to you to guide your team through the conversation and creating those. So, you can, as a team, sit down and say, listen, our company has not provided these, and it's important that everyone has a good experience and a meaningful way to contribute to the team. So let's talk about what that looks like for us. And the most effective teams have those conversations. So the second dimension, we talked about the dimension of collaboration, the first one being connection. The second one is clarity. And so it's investing in creating the clarity of what success looks like. What does success look like for our team? And we can create those norms together and then reinforce them with one another in the way that we do, even if it doesn't exist in the larger ecosystem we're a part of.
Yeah, we were working with the executive team this week, and they looked at us. It was funny. They looked at us and they're like, Karen and David, what is the right answer for how long it should take to return an email? And of course, our answer is whatever is going to work for you guys, right? Yeah, that it's the fact. But if you think it's 72 hours and she thinks it's 3 hours, that's where your conflict is going to come in.
Right. And that is a tough question when you think about all the variables. Does that client expect certain, have an expectation of when the email is supposed to come? Have you set the expectation yourself by always being rapid and suddenly you're slow. And so you, they're wondering, where the heck are you? Internally, the same way, is Bob and Susan, to your point, have a different expectation of what it is. And having that norm, is 24 hours fine? Is 2 hours fine? If it's the boss, is 5 minutes fine? Right? It's a very interesting dynamic of, it's not that simple all the time.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. And you got to have conversations about it.
Yeah. So when you're thinking about this research showing all this data and using all that data to talk to companies and organizations about conflict, was there a big surprise, the biggest surprise in the research to you, Karen?
You know, I think I was surprised at how much the answer was so simply be calm, right? Like, I just wish I would have just taken a minute and chilled and not engaged in the heat of the moment. And I mean, if you really think back to all the times that you've been in conflict, whether it's, you know, with a family member or at work, yeah, that's good, pretty good advice, but it's so basic. I was surprised that more than half of people said that.
And David?
I come to, you know, yes. So be patient, remain calm, 55%. And then the second most frequent, which was half as frequent as that, was I would go back and tell myself, talk about it, address it directly, have the conversation. And it is surprising, I think, how often we have conversations in our head that are worst case scenario conversations, but we never have the conversation in real life with the other human being involved. So they never have a chance to respond to whatever it is that we're thinking. And I've done that in my career, and, you know, spent 3 or 4 sleepless nights going, why, how could they be so dumb? What's wrong with them? Where's their integrity? And then when I finally broke down and had the conversation with the CEO, by the way, the CEO is like, yeah, I don't want you to violate your integrity. What do you think we can do here? Yeah, that sounds good. Let's do that. I'm like, why didn't I have that conversation 4 days ago when I could have slept? And, you know, I was talking, coaching a leader the other day, and he said, he got off the conversation. He texted me 3 days later. He says, I'm going to get a tattoo that says, just have the conversation. So why don't we be patient, remain calm, talk about it? Because we need the skills.
Yeah. I mean, it is true that sometimes it takes experience to really make you actually do something different. We all know that it takes a lot sometimes to push people to actually make that move. And sometimes there is no substitute for experience when it comes to those type of things. So you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored to thank our sponsors for their support and contributions to this program. We thank the law firms of Verrill, Jackson Lewis, and Sheehan Finney, along with our partners, Paper Trails and Strategic HR. Want to be the next sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say HR Power Hour sponsor.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day, starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy with simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow, find your way home.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-law.com. Of course, the HR Power Hour can be found at HRPowerHour.com, podcast on all major podcast channels, and of course on WLOB Radio 100.5 FM here in the Southern Maine market. Today, we're having a great conversation with Karen Hurt, who's the CEO of Let's Grow Leaders, and David Dye, the president of the same organization. And we're talking about a survey really that in-depthly looks at conflict in the workplace. And I got to tell you, first of all, you guys have done a great job with the research that you've done to pull it together and make it be what I would call digestible, right? Information that really is relevant for leaders to work with. So what I'd like to do during this segment is talk a little bit about some stories. Yeah. Give me some stories that are really the audience can understand where the, how this all comes together and sets the stage for eventually a book, Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. Karen, go ahead. You start.
Yeah. So we were just a few minutes ago, we were talking about people's regret, you know, like, I just wish I'd talked about it. And that would be their advice to their former self is I would have talked about it. Well, the other day, so one of the things that I do sometimes, I have one of our clients that I go, I spend a couple of days, they put me in a conference room and anybody can come in at any time and talk about anything they want and really just get in the moment coaching. And so I had, and when we think about who needs this book, mostly we've been thinking about, well, it's going to be people younger in their career who haven't had as much experience navigating conflict. And, you know, you start to think about this kind of thing. Well, in burst this guy. And let's just call him Joe. So Joe comes like bursts open into the room and he's like, Karen, do you have that book? That book, I just got an email from David and at the bottom of the signatures, there's a copy of this book and it says like, what to say with conflict. Do you have one in your purse? Cause I need it right now. And I was like, well, Joe, book doesn't come out till May, but I'm like, what's your problem? And he goes, I am so mad. I am just so mad. I'm so mad at this woman. She's done this and she's done that and she's not listening and she doesn't care. And I've been thinking about this for 3 months. I'm like, well, have you talked to her about any of this? No, but I am so mad. And I said, well, do you want, let's pull out a chapter from this book. I'll tell you what to say, right? And so basically I go with connection and curiosity. And I say, Joe, first, Can you go to her and say, hey, I really care about you. We both want the same things. I want this because, and he had really laid out what he wanted. And I know you want this too. And I care about you and your career, and I want you to be successful. So I am sure that if we could take a moment and really think about how we could do this and collaborate to do the best for the business, would you be open to that? And then I said, and then you want to show up curious. What does this look like from your perspective? What would a successful outcome be for this conflict that we're having? Just gave him those three phrases. So 2 hours later, he comes back and he goes, oh my gosh, she does want the same things that I do. She wants exactly the same things I do. When I told her that I was upset, she's like, what? You're upset? I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to make you upset. You do so much to help me and the team. And he said, and then we came up with solutions to the specific conflict that we're in. Three phrases. But he had to have the courage to address the conflict calmly. He had worked himself up into such a situation that he had created an animosity that just didn't exist. So that would be my hope for anyone listening. If you are, even if you feel that like as strong as Joe is, can you take a step back, go create connection, and then show up curious in the conversation?
And I think that does take a very strong person to be willing to take that step back, right? Yeah. I think that you have, it's kind of like not responding on social media or something else. Wait 24 hours before you actually or send that email or send that response, that impulse control, as we would call it in terms of this. David, what's your story?
One of the things that I've been thinking about lately that I have encountered a lot with our clients, and I'm just thinking of one person in particular right now, but if you know you're listening and you've ever had that internal dialogue with yourself that says, what is the matter with them? Don't they understand? And you're thinking of your boss or other departments or all of the pressure they're putting on you and your team and that kind of thing. If you've ever had that question come up, don't they get it? The answer is probably no, they don't. And the reason for that is they don't know what you know. And so I was talking with someone who was in this situation and for good reasons, like their team is, and they themselves, they're getting bombarded by quality's asking this and sales is asking that and marketing's asking this. And then human resources comes ask this. And no one knows what's going on with all these requests, except for the person receiving them, who then also has their main job, right? We've all been in situations like that. Well, don't they know? No, they don't. And they can't unless we say something. And there's a way to do that. So my encouragement for this person and for you as you're listening is to say something. And one of the things that we talk about in the book is if finding that courage is tough, is challenging, is to ask yourself, what happens if you remain silent? What's the suffering that continues? What doesn't change? What are the consequences of remaining silent? And to really think about those and realize that nothing changes if nothing changes. So when we have the chance to speak up and say, hey, listen, I hear what you're saying, totally understand why that's important, and here's the context in which this is factoring in, and I'd like to talk about what we can do to make this work, because here are the consequences, here are some of the trade-offs, here are the four other requests, and maybe even then take it to the next level, which this person has done, and say, hey, let's bring all these together and see if we can find a better way to go about processing these so that we're prioritizing, triaging, and making sure that the day-to-day work is also getting done in a quality way. Are there perfect solutions? No. But if they get to 80, 85%, which they're on their way to doing, they're way ahead of the stress and turmoil and burnout that they're experiencing now. And that's what's possible when we'll speak up.
It sounds so simple, doesn't it, to your point, right, Karen? It's such simplicity, such, well, yeah, and... Right. Yeah. And that's it. But you're right. It is actually quite that simple. It just requires somebody to be willing to take that leap of faith, because when you are jacked up, when you are high on emotion, when you are angry, when you are frustrated, when you don't believe people are listening, all those engagement components, You have to have a reason to believe it's going to be worth your energy when you're in that negative frame of mind to start with, right? I mean, that's that to me is the big takeaway, is what it really takes for you to make that move, you meaning the person that's willing to do that, to make that move.
Yeah. And then that's why we're, you know, you can't script conflict, right? We can't say person A says this and person B says that and then this and then that. But so often people have come to us and say, can you just tell me, give me the words, give me some a phrase to start, you know? And that is where I think if you can come back and say, what is the right words that are going to create better clarity, that are going to create a connection, that are going to show that you're curious, that are going to drive this conversation to commitment. That is, you know, I think that is really the so what. When people are afraid to speak up, often it's that they're lacking the confidence because they don't have the words. And so that's where I would start. Like, what is the most productive sentence that I could say right now that is either going to show the person I care, that show that I'm curious?
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and podcasts on all major podcast channels. We will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clough, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HRPowerHour.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
In a recent survey, investors shared what they felt were the greatest threats to their retirement. It's no surprise the most common threats include stock market volatility, economic uncertainty, conflict in the Middle East. Unfortunately, there are many threats beyond your control that can affect your retirement savings. At Goldco, a leader in precious metals, the team believes one way to protect your investment portfolio is with physical gold and silver. Goldco will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. No obligation, 100% free. Call 855-971-2006 to get your free silver American Eagle coin.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you. Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, Customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to Educational HR Radio. Today, our guests are Karen Hurt and David Dye. They are both from Let's Grow Leaders, and they're talking about the research for their upcoming new book, Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. And they promise they'll be back for a second show later in April, I believe it is, right before the book comes out. When's the book coming out, by the way?
May 14th.
Perfect.
But it's available for pre-order now. If you're ready to just want to set it right up, you can do that now.
And where would they find that information? Where could they dig deep to find this research?
Yeah, so our website is called letsgrowleaders.com. And if you go to books and you'll click on this Powerful Phrases book, there is so much information there. So you can download the research, you can learn more about our approach. So that's definitely the best way to do that.
Perfect. David, as we wrap up the show today, from somebody listening for the whole show today, what's the one big massive takeaway that you have to change or do or learn from today's show?
Have the conversation. And if you're reluctant to have the conversation, consider what happens if you don't, and get that inspiration, and then find the right phrase to start with.
And I would also add, you know, conflict is not bad in and of itself. The best teams, the people that are really innovative, that are trying new things, are engaging in productive conflict. So it is worth it to learn about how to do that well. And there are four ways to do that, right? Really creating human connection, creating clarity, get a shared sense of what success looks like. Make sure that you're showing up curious about what the possibilities are, and curious about other people's perspective, and ending those conversations with a real commitment to what you're going to do next.
David, tell us a little bit about Let's Grow Leaders. What's that organization all about? Obviously, you two are in charge. Tell me about
Absolutely. It. Absolutely. We're an international leadership consultancy. We help leaders and managers around the world with practical, human-centered leadership tools and techniques to achieve transformational results and feel good about it in the process.
That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you both for being on the show today. Of course, we're going to have a second show, probably come out sometime around in April, which we'll talk about the book specifically. But thank you so much for providing the data information today to set the stage. And I'm sure it's going to be a great launch.
Thank you so much. It's been absolutely our pleasure. We're big fans of the work that you do.
Well, thank you. You enjoy and have a great holiday season.
You too.
Thanks.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.